our Lord shows His hand in how we decide certain things. Kathy had chosen the songs somewhere Tuesday or Monday or somewhere there. She works on the bulletin throughout the week. And I usually don't have a message prepared, even know what my title or where I'm going to preach from until sometime Saturday, sometime Sunday morning, as it was this morning. And she chose that song we just sang a few minutes ago. Faith is the victory. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our victory. A faith that was given to us by the gift of God. Not something that we decided to just someday start doing, but a faith, a belief in who the Lord is, God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus Christ, what He's done. He provided Himself an atonement for His people, a payment, a propitiation. He is our blessed Redeemer. Oh, what a joy that is. Would you turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 13? And the title for my message this morning is Our Faith. Our faith. And it is our faith. Something God has given to each and every one of His chosen people under the preaching of His gospel. Faith cometh by hearing and by the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look with me if you would at verse 5. Paul writes these words, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate. Paul says, examine yourselves. Sometimes religious people are a bit harsh with one another, aren't they? They're a bit cruel. I've heard this said. I've experienced it a little bit. Some of those who claim to be Christians can be the most cruel people in the world. Many religious people are quite sure that they are saved, but when they examine another, ooh, look at this one. This one's not saved. Look what they do in life. Do you know our Lord tells us in His Word to remove the log in our own eye before we look to another? You know what that means? It means remove your own sin. Many like to examine others and see if they can find evidence of salvation in them. They're quick to judge another man's relationship with God, but they're usually very slow to examine their own hearts. Salvation, folks, is a personal relationship with God. It's a communion with God, a personal matter of the heart. It's so personal, in fact, that it's quite impossible for you or I to know whether another person is saved or not. We know that the Apostle Paul, for instance, was saved because God told us he was, and only because of that. He said, he is a chosen vessel unto me. But I haven't heard the word of the Lord say that to anybody else yet. Salvation is a personal matter. I've done that twice today. We know that Jeremiah was saved because God said this about him. Before he formed him in his mother's womb, before he came out of the belly, the Lord said, I knew him and sanctified him, set him apart, made him holy. We know that there are some in scriptures that are saved, but it is impossible. Impossible, I tell you, for you to know another person's heart. You just cannot tell. And if it's impossible for you to be sure that another person is either saved or lost, it is because it's a very private and personal matter. But now, it is not only possible for us to know our own state before God, but we are commanded to know it. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 for a moment, would you? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. This is our Lord's command to each and every one of His beloved children. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give care. Take care to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You cannot know about someone else's, but God exhorts us. Encourages us through His Word. Lays upon our very own hearts, make your calling and election sure. When you come to the Lord's table, when the bread and the wine is set forth, representing the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul delivered these words to us. He said, "What I received of the Lord, I deliver unto you." Our Lord said this. He said, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." Speaking of the table once again. You cannot examine anyone else, but you can examine yourself. You can try your own heart. You can try your own soul. You can try your own relationship with God. You can see if you have any understanding of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's read it once again. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Salvation and communion with God is such a personal and private matter that it is impossible. I know I said this a moment ago, but I wanted to repeat it. It is impossible for us to know beyond a shadow of doubt whether another person knows God or is saved. We cannot look on the outward countenance and tell. Our Lord looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. And you yourself can determine your own relationship with God. We are commanded to examine ourselves. We are commanded to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. We all know of some believers in the Old Testament and the New Testament who are quite certain of their salvation. For instance, Job. Job said this, he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though I die and worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see the Lord." Well, how did Job know? What gave Job such assurance of his knowledge? David. Another one. He said this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Paul the Apostle knew his relationship with God when he said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So we know that there are some who have definitely got a knowledge of what their faith is. A definite knowledge of where their salvation lies. The Apostle John said this. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." Well, how do you go about examining yourself, you might ask? How would a man go about testing his faith? How would one go about determining if they really know the Lord or if they have a false, hypocritical profession, or just a church member, maybe? On what ground can we determine our relationship with the living God? When I ask you or tell you to examine yourself and to determine your relationship with God. What I'm telling you is on the basis of Scriptures. What God says in His Word. Not talking about your feelings. Not talking about I'm saved because I feel like I'm saved. Or I'm saved because I was there when it happened. I'm saved because I turned over a new leaf, maybe. The day I quit smoking. The day I quit drinking. The day I did this or the day I did that. This is what God's Word says. A man is not saved. A man is not a Christian who has not been born again. Our Lord says you must be born again. This is how we can examine ourselves. It doesn't matter if you are the most religious person, an elder, a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher. A person is not a Christian unless, and they are not saved if they have not been born again. This is what the Bible says. And we're going to go by what the Scriptures say. If we don't go by what the Scripture says, then we're left to believe anything. And we know by all the examples of all the different religions out there that men can come up with whatever they want out of their imagination, can't they? Here's what Scripture says. Isaiah said this concerning Scriptures. If they speak not according to the Word of God, it is because they don't have any light in them. How do you speak? How do you speak? Do you speak about the sovereignty of God when somebody asks you about Him? A God who rules over everything? Do you speak about God who became a man? A perfect man who walked perfectly in this world, fulfilling every bit, every dot of the law? Do you speak of God as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, who comes in the Spirit and gives life to the dead? Isaiah says, if they speak not according to the Word of God, it is because they do not have any light in them. Our Lord said this, Nicodemus, except a man is be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then He said again, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The answer to the question is plainly, forcefully, and simply, as it can be put from the Scriptures, I do not care who the person is, or what they claim, or what kind of life they live. If a person has not been born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God, and that's God's Word. It's important to note to whom our Lord is speaking when He said that, though. He is not speaking to a publican, a harlot, or a drunk. He's speaking to a religious man. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders of that day. We can all relate to what a harlot is, can't we? We can all relate to what a publican is, a sinner is. Because the Lord God has shown us what that truly is. But this man that our Lord told these words to was one who thought he had a righteousness of his own. One who thought he was fulfilling the law himself. This one Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of Scriptures. He was a moral Pharisee. God was speaking to a man with all the outward form, all the outward ceremony, legalism, and separation of religion. Yet He is saying to him that salvation is a heart work. It's not the dress that you have on. It's not the works that you do. It's not what you're going out into the corners and praying before everybody that you can do. It is a heart matter. It's something God has to do, and God alone. I can't speak to your hearts. No man can. But God turns the hearts of His people as He sees fit. Because He's God and He can. He's saying to this one Nicodemus that salvation is a heart work. It's not an outward form of ceremony. It's not something you can claim from your lips. It's a condition. It's a condition of your heart. We're to examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. If we are of the Christian faith of Scriptures. Our Lord is saying to one of the most prominent moral and religious men of His days, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. You were born of human parents and you became a human being of a fleshy nature. Now you have to be born from above. You have to have a new heart, a new nature, a new life. You have to be born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born through the Word of God. That is what the Scripture teaches. You have to be born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word of God, made a new person, and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not a reformation, it's a regeneration of the heart. Salvation is not an education, it's a revelation of the truth. Salvation is not a form without, it is a life within us. Does Christ live in you? Salvation is not performing religious duties. Salvation is a real, sincere, spiritual devotion to who God is. And I'm not talking about your works. I'm talking about your heart. You folks have come out of this world. This very day, when we are advised to stay home. Why are you here? You have dedicated yourself to hearing the Word of God because that's where your peace is. You get what I'm trying to say? Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Examine your heart. Why am I here today? Am I here because I feel I have to be at church? Or am I here because I want to hear the Word of God? That's how we examine ourselves. Where are your desires? There are many in the world today who go about doing their good works because that's what they think their salvation lies in. Are you here today for the Word of God or are you here today for yourself? It says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ then is not of his. So we know that this is true when we are examining ourselves. If a man has not been born again, he is not saved. He is not a believer. He is not a Christian. The new birth is a work of God and it is a gift of God. The new birth is the very life of God and it is a new creature. It is supernaturally given to us by the power of God. That's what the Word of God says. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Secondly, a man is not saved or a Christian, no matter what he claims, who has not heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ and believed in it in his heart. He may be the highest religious officer, but if he has not heard the true gospel of Jesus and believed in his heart, then he is not saved. Can we make good on that? Listen to this. Listen to this. Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? In the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 17, it says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no doubt, no question about it. Christ is the gospel, and the gospel is Christ. And Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, this gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Every man who is saved has heard the gospel. Listen to me. He hasn't just heard it with the ears that we have on our head. He's heard it with the ears of the heart. With the new life that was given to him. The born again life that God gives his people. When Lazarus came forth from the womb, from the tomb, he was born again. He was dead in trespasses and sin. The Lord gave him new life. And he came forth. That's exactly how God has saved each and every one of his people. Coming to them when they are dead in trespasses and sin and giving them life. Born again to hear the true gospel. Christ Almighty, God Almighty, standing in the flesh said, Lazarus, come. And Lazarus came, didn't he? Roger, when the Lord said to you the first time in His holy word, come, you came. You had no choice. You came because God gave you a new life. You were born again. And that goes for every one of us. Every one of us. Our Lord said to His disciples, blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear, your hearts, they understand. And He also said this, speaking to the damned, I speak to them, speaking of them, in parables, stories, because they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. Who ever heard of a man having ears but not hearing? He can hear it with a natural ear, but he doesn't hear it with the heart. They have hearts, but they do not understand, for their hearts are still in darkness. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says this, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it came to you in power. The very same power that it had when it came and spoke to your heart. The new heart that God gave you. I'm going to use my wife as an example of that. She came to church with me often. Not every day, but a few times. During the 5 years between the time that the Lord called me and the Lord that He called her. But it wasn't until 5 years later. 5 years later that God gave her a heart to hear His truth. The very same truth that He has given you a new heart to hear. It did not come in word alone, but it came in power. We all know what power is, right? Electricity is a kind of power that goes through the wires. I bring that up first because we just dealt with that over there next door. Dynamite is a power. A jet engine. That's quite a bit of power there. There's a power that men have, though. Our president has certain powers. Our congressmen have certain powers. Our mayors have certain powers. Our police have certain powers. We know what power is. But the scripture says this. This gospel came to you in power, in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and you became followers of us and the Lord. Something took place. Something dynamic. Something unusual. Something supernatural. The word came, but it came not in word only. That's how most people have heard the gospel. It's just words, 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 words. That's the reason they argue and debate about it. They quarrel and bicker and ask questions. It's just a doctrine. It's just tradition. It's just ritualism. It's just words. But to the true believer, we're examining ourselves. Can you say, it comes with word and power? God's word came to me in power. It arrested me. It took that old dark heart that used to say, I shall not have this one rule over me. And it gave me a new heart. New life. Can you say this about yourself? Did God come to you in power and arrest that old soul that we used to have? Our Lord says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Our gospel came not to you in word only, it came in power. Thirdly, a man is not saved who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, do you mean to tell me that I have to believe on this Jesus of Nazareth? And I tell you, yes, you do. Our Lord said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no other way. He says, I am the way, the only way, and any other way is but a thief. Listen to what it says in 1 John 5 verse 10. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made God a liar. Our Lord has set his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the throne above all things. All power in heaven and earth belong unto him. This is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this is the life in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. We're examining ourselves. We're looking into our own hearts. Do we believe God's word? We're talking about eternal life and salvation. He that hath not Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hath not life. Folks, I'm not making this up. This is what Scripture says. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's in John chapter 1 verse 12. One cannot be saved who does not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Does man have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved? The answer to that is yes. It says in Scripture, he that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Now you can argue that if you want. But don't argue that with me. Go to the book of God and argue it with him. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe, first of all, that he is God in human flesh. In fact, he said, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is antichrist and not of God. That's what the Scripture says. Can you say that about yourself? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come, he has come into this world in the flesh, he is God Almighty in the flesh, and every spirit that confesseth not is Antichrist. I can tell you I believe that Jesus Christ is the prophet for whom Moses wrote of. Moses said, in Moses, God will raise up among them, the brethren, a prophet like unto myself, and him ye shall hear. Then the voice of heaven said this of Jesus Christ, this is my Son, hear him. He is the priest that offers a perfect sin offering and a sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men, as the word says. Folks, when you argue with scriptures. A man is not saved who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe on him and who he is, or you have to believe on what he did. You have to understand to some degree why he did it. So that God may be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Why did he go to the cross? So that he would be just. Sin can't just be whipped away. It has to be paid for. This is why Christ was known as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It had to be done. Christ became a man for that very purpose. God became flesh for that very reason, that He could be made sin and that we would be made righteous in Him. We are to search the Scriptures. The Bereans search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And I'm telling you, he that believeth on the Son of God hath life. Fourthly, a man is not saved if he is not a Christian who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Word of God. A lot of people say they love Jesus. A lot of people declare that they love a Jesus. And then they make up a Jesus to fit their own needs, don't they? It's important, folks. Like I said a little while ago, we must examine ourselves according to what God's Word is, not according to men's. I'm reading a book on the history of Christianity. One of the things I was considering as I was reading this book was how it's talking about the Catholic Church and how Catholicism grew out of Augustine, and it grew and it grew and it became such this big thing, and it finally took over the whole world. There was not even any mention of true Christianity. It was all about the Catholic rituals and stuff like that. And I got to thinking to myself, I'm not learning anything new here. We see it in God's Scripture, don't we? Look what Israel did between the time the Lord brought them out of Egypt and the time God walked in the flesh. They became so ritualistic in everything that they did, wearing their fancy robes, praying on the street corners, doing all the things. That's what men do by nature. We have to examine ourselves according to Scriptures. We search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 16:22, let him be anathema, maranatha. And what that's saying is this, let him be accursed when the Lord comes. Salvation, my friends, is not just to accept Jesus. Salvation is not just to believe that such a person lived and died and rose again. Salvation is to love Him and worship Him. How often does it cross your heart? How often does it cross your heart of the grace that God has given to you? We sing the song Amazing Grace. And I'm not ashamed to admit this. To this day, 20 years later, I think of those words and they move my heart to a point of emotion. I know what I am in the flesh. I know the sin that I have committed against my God. I see the grace in Him shedding His mercy upon me. And I can't help but love Him for it. When was the last time you saw His grace in such a great manner for you? Over in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this. He tells them, beware of dogs, evil workers, and beware of the coccision. Beware of false preachers and circumcisers of the flesh and merchandisers of the soul, those who tell you that you have a part in salvation. Those who encourage you to add your works to His grace. He also says this, we serve the true circumcision who worship God in spirit, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, and who have no confidence in the flesh. A poem And I'm not sure who wrote it. He said, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. I love thee in life, I love thee in death, I love thee as long as thou lendest me breath." You see, a man is saved only when he comes by the grace of God to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're examining ourselves. Can you say, "I love the Lord" in your heart? Do we see Him at the right hand of God? Are we glad that He is there? Do we see Him bearing our sins on the cross and rejoice in His shed blood? Do we see Him there ruling and reigning over all of His kingdom and rejoice in peace in our hearts because of Him? Do we rejoice that God has exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess in heaven and earth and under the earth that He is the Lord of glory of the God of God the Father? Fifthly, this. I won't be much longer. A man is not saved who is ignorant of the righteousness of God. You might say, "I don't quite understand, Pastor. What are you talking about?" I'm talking about this. In order to be in the presence of God, we must be as righteous as God Himself. Our Lord says there are none righteous. We must understand that God's Word tells us there is no righteousness in us. That's a hard thing to understand at times because our natural human instinct is to say, "Well, I'm doing good. Look at what I've done over here. Have I not done this?" There are going to be people in hell saying that, and our Lord is going to tell them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Well, that doesn't seem right. God's ways are not our ways. We must understand the righteousness of God is perfect in every way. The only righteousness that you and I have that can put us in front of God forever and ever and ever throughout eternity is the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us. It's not our righteousness, but it is our righteousness. He has imputed it to us. We are as white as snow right now before our Lord and Savior. Our God looks on each and every one of His people, even those who aren't born yet, and He sees them as white as His Son, because every sin has been laid on Him at the cross. Oh, how I wish I could get that in my mind better. Man is not saved who is ignorant of the righteousness of God in Christ. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If you don't know anything about His righteousness, His provided righteousness in Christ, then you have to go about to establish your own. That's what Paul said about these people in Romans chapter 10. He said this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They are ignorant." Paul is saying that what he wants them saved, but they are not saved because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. And they are going about to establish their own righteousness. And they've not submitted to the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We're examining ourselves. Do you believe that our righteousness is in Him alone? Is that where you put your faith? Because if you put your faith in anything else, anything that you have done, then you are in a false hope. A false religious state. A state of death. Let's see if I can try to be a little more plain about this. We have no righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's scriptures. We have to have a righteousness, a perfect righteousness. Our Lord says this. He says, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those people were pretty religious back then. They thought they were pretty good. And some of them were probably better than my grandmother. But if they're not doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ and because of His righteousness, then it's nothing but an abomination to God. We cannot produce a righteousness of our own. Our Lord says in His Word, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. God has provided a righteousness for His people. It says, by one man's disobedience we were made sinners, but by another's obedience we are made righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says this, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. God has provided a righteousness. Well, where is it? I don't see it. Our righteousness is in Christ. Stop looking to you. Stop looking in that mirror for something that I can do that is righteous in the eyes of God. For nothing I can do is righteous in the eyes of God. Either our righteousness is in Christ or we have none of our own. Person is not saved who does not continue in the faith. Colossians 1 verse 21, it says this, You hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh to present you holy, unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So you see, this thing of salvation is, we have been saved, we are being saved, and by the grace of God, we shall be saved. Examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Repentance and faith are not isolated acts. They are a state of being. Do you love Christ right now? Do you believe Christ right now? These things are not isolated acts. They are a state of being. They continue over and over again. They have been, are, and are being, and shall be. Christ is the Son over His house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence firm unto the end. Amen.